Welcome back to the Army Talk podcast series. It's April 13th, 2018. I woke up this morning and I asked Alexa, I said, Alexa, what's the weather like today? And Alexa sadly told me it's going to snow again in Minneapolis today. But it's great to be here. We're excited to be here, like always. And we're excited to have our sponsor, Delivery Solutions. Delivery Solutions is a leader in last mile delivery. You can delight your customer today with click-to-door delivery. If you want to learn more, visit deliverysolutions.co. Let's get right to the news. This week was a tough week for me. I'll be honest, it was tough. It still hurts a little bit. Bed Bath & Beyond reported their last quarter earnings this week, and it wasn't good. In fact, their stock dropped almost 20% just yesterday after the announcement. It's a mixed bag for me. I had high hopes for Bed Bath & Beyond when I made my retail predictions for 2018. I had said that, you know, investors were going to start to see value in their stock. And again, as I always say, never use any of my opinions as investment advice. It is an absolutely ludicrous thing to do. But still, I will have an opinion. And my opinion was that, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond has a lot of assets they can still utilize. However, the results weren't good. Sales were on a same-store sales basis were slightly below zero. And more importantly, for 2018, they lowered their guidance significantly, scaring the hell out of Wall Street. Now, I went and read the earnings report cover to cover, and what I found was interesting. It was really a mixed bag, and I'm still quite not sure what to make of it, so I'm still holding out a little bit of hope that maybe over the long term, Bed Bath & Beyond can right the ship. The first half of it is all the traditional student body right playbook tactics of what I call merchant-led retailers. Things like better assortments, better sourcing strategies, better pricing, all the things that matter when your business model is pretty stable, right? When you're just trying to squeeze as much margin as you can out of the situation. But in reality, their business model is anything but stable, and they need more transformative strategies. So I continue to read on. And as you read on, in the second half, they start to talk about store reformatting. And if you remember, one of my favorite innovations in legacy bricks and mortar over the last years was actually Bed Bath & Beyond's Brooklyn store. And we're going to talk more about this in the After the Five, but what's really cool about that store is they take all of their great brands, right? They take Bed Bath & Beyond, they take Bye Bye Baby, Cost Plus World Market, Face Value, and they put all of that under one roof, and they try to make it a real social experience. That has the hallmark and the makings of being something really special. I don't think they've quite figured out all the glitches with it just yet, but it still could be something, and they plan to introduce this format in a much bigger way over the next two quarters. So time essentially is going to tell whether or not this is just a short-term pain or if I was just way off in my prediction for 2018. But fortunately, I've still got Walmart, Blue Apron, and Wayfair's sophomore slump so far to fall back on. All right, on the other side of that coin, we've got Costco. Costco had a stellar March, reporting sales up over 8%, which just goes to show you Costco still has one hell of a business model. Despite companies like Box nipping at their heels, and even they are trying to look to get acquired, which tells you something about that business. But Costco is just still a really hard business to imitate online. That's the word I'm looking for, imitate online. It's a tough business to do. It's hard to disrupt digitally. They still have a very unique foothold. And so for me, still really long on Costco based on that announcement. All right, third up, we had a couple announcements in the last mile delivery space. We had Walmart saying they're going to sign a partnership with Instacart. And then we also had Instacart saying they've just raised another round of funding, bringing their valuation to about $4.3 billion. Now, we're going to talk more about this as well in the After the Five. And the thing I would say most importantly is this is a really interesting space, and we all need to start thinking about it differently. And probably the best article that I would recommend for you to take a look at to get a new perspective on third-party delivery or trying to bring this in-house as a retailer is an article written by Britton Ladd that he posted on LinkedIn. And basically what that article says is that Instacart could be a Trojan horse for retailers. And what he says there is that if you look at it, Instacart in a certain geographical area has data from not just one retailer, but all retailers. So they know what people are buying at Walmart. They know what people are buying at Whole Foods. And that's pretty powerful data. Whereas Walmart only knows what people are buying at Walmart. So over time, because they're going to have better data, could a company like Instacart or any other third-party delivery service start to get into retailing themselves? It's a pretty interesting concept. I still don't know where I come down on it, but it's definitely one of the best reads I've seen in the last couple of months. All right, fourth up, we had Amazon. Amazon and their R&D spending. This story was like Darth Vader telling Luke at the end of Empire Strikes Back, "Luke, I am your father." And then Luke, of course, says, "No," which is what I think every CEO in America did this week. Amazon spends an astounding $22 billion on R&D. The next closest company, no surprise, Google, at $16 billion. So Amazon, which is inherently a retail and e-commerce company, outspends everyone else. That number is staggering. And like Luke, it's freaking hard to believe, but it's true. And what it tells you, and you can read this from the earnings reports too, because it's almost never there, retailers still are failing to use R&D as a strategic tactic. R&D is not risky. R&D is actually just good business. Amazon has that figured out, and that's why they're winning. We all need to start taking a better page from their book within whatever budget parameters we can in any given company. All right, lastly, this one's near and dear to my heart, or my heart. Food halls are expected to triple by 2020. It's those millennials, guys. Those millennials like good quality food, and they like a lot of variety. Another cool statistic coming out of the headline is that millennials spend 44% of their food budget on eating out. That number is staggering. And so if you think about this from a trend perspective, again, if the only thing in the future that differentiates a physical from a digital experience is really the idea and delight of being somewhere, then food is probably going to take center stage in that evolution. So that means retailers, we need to start thinking about this. We need to start paying more attention to operational infrastructures, architecture, food, changing food tastes and preferences. Those could begin to shape how you're going to drive traffic to your stores over time. All right, that wraps us up for today. Of course, as always, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, Delivery Solutions. If you also didn't get a chance to listen to it this week, we did a fantastic interview as part of our Spotlight series with Slice CEO Ted Mann. It's a great listen. I encourage you to check it out. We're going to be out at Atlanta at the Home Delivery World Show next week. And finally, I want to close up by saying happy anniversary to my wife, Michelle. It's been a fabulous 9 years. Thanks for our devil children. And like I say to her every night before we go to bed, be careful out there.